Hare Krishna, following the class on Bhakti Shastri, Nectar of Instruction, by His Holiness Bhakti Bled Bhagavad Swami Maharaj. And it's a day 7 of the seminar and we are continuing. Hare Krishna.
So we are coming up to text number 7, which is chanting the holy name. And you will find progressively from text number 1 to text number 7, which is categorized within Vaidhi, Sadhana Bhakti, and that means following rules and regulations in the practice of devotional service, Vaidhi, Sadhana Bhakti. And in one sense, from text number 1 about controlling the urges of the mind and the senses, and then text 2 avoiding things that will bring you down, that will make you fall, obstacles in devotional service, and then text number 3 in terms of, you could say, the mode of devotional service, you know, utsahan and so forth, and that's leading to the activities of exchanges in text number 4, coming to the association of devotees according to different levels in text number 5, and then text number 6 about associating with a pure devotee, not on the external platform. Right. So you'll find each particular verse is sort of more progressively higher than the next one, the preceding one. It goes in that format like that. So text number 7 is the apex verse or the topmost verse within Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti about chanting the holy name. So we can get to that and we can say the verse together. It's an important subject, chanting the holy name, text number 7. So even if we do not enter into text number 8 today, we don't want to rush this important text also. We can continue tomorrow from 8 to 11, if we don't enter into 8 because of the time. Alright, and we're on page number 65. Oh, before we do that, there was some questions outstanding. Yes. Let's take those questions from the previous verses. There was 2 more hands up, I remember one. And one hand up was in the back there. Hey, tell us.
Maharaj, at the beginning of the course, you said that Raghunanda can smoke cigarettes and still be devotee.
I did not say that.
Can you explain?
I did not say that.
You said that they can go...
Who remembers what I said? Who remembers? I remember what I said, but let's see. Yes?
Mark, you mentioned that one should be careful not to criticize particular devotees in, like, let's say for example, if Dene Radha can because you mentioned that even if they're smoking, they still have some taste of Krishna, and that immediately, if they were called to go for darshan, they can immediately drop the cigarette.
We're talking about the Vrijavan, the residence of the Dham. You remember I said that. So we should be careful not to criticize them if they're smoking a bidi, a cigarette, or doing some odd activities. We should be careful because they have internally some conviction to immediately drop everything and go to Krishna. They have that conviction naturally because they are born in the Dham and they've been brought up with the culture of attachment to Krishna. They've been brought up with that culture. So some external may be there, but I didn't say what you were saying. I'm just correcting that. Well, we didn't talk about Raganuga Vaishnavas smoking cigarettes. Is that all right? If you recall, that's what I mentioned.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that these devotees, which are Vrijavanis, why their bhakti is not disrupted, and why they are still doing these activities?
Maybe you should ask them if you get a chance. And I did. Same question, I did. I used to live in Vrindavan sometimes for several years. So. I used to ask one of them named Dharam. And he was my rickshawala driver. Then he progressed to auto rickshaw and then he progressed to taxis. Just knowing English, you know, like that. Yeah. So I asked him. So he said in English language, he said, these things are superficial. Just like that. These things are superficial. We can give it up like that. Superficial. That's what he said. Like that. He didn't say don't find fault, he just said superficial.
Vatsalaka cannot say.
What's that?
Vatsalaka cannot say that, then
he is superficial. No, we are a little different from that. We are a little different from that. We should have all respects for the residents of the Dham, including the pigs, the hogs, in that sense. They in that position, but they in that position in the Dham. They're not like a hog or a pig or a monkey in another forest that's not the Dham. And Srila Prabhupada did say that the residents of the Dham, if they do something that's nonsense, you know, that's not proper, then they take birth there again. In those lower species of life, as monkeys or as pigs. They don't leave the Dham. And then in that life, in the next life, they again come back into human beings and continue. But they don't, but they restrict themselves to the boundary of the Dham. They don't go out. And they do some nonsense, or something like that. So that's amazing because you know, we as sadhakas, we may take birth in the lower species if we're not careful, but not in the Dham. You know, in that sense. To give you another example, Prabhupada used to call in the 10th canto, he called the monkeys in Vrindavan, and the celebrated monkeys. They're celebrants, celebrities, you know. Like celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan. In a place called Nidhuvan. You know, Nidhuvan means a place of rest. So no human being can go there in the night. Because it is understood by the locals as well as you know, the saintly persons there that Radha and Krishna come in the night in Nidhuvan forest. So if somebody goes there apparently in the night and devotees tried, they come out there and they pagla. Use the word pagla too? They become crazy. Yeah. Actually, one devotee from South Africa tried it, and he went there, and even up to today he's recovering from his madness. You know, he lost it completely. But sometimes the monkeys go there. Like the monkeys. And the monkeys are associates of Krishna. In the night, they even sleep there. Like that. So we should be careful in relation to them. Even here in Mayapur, Navadvip, we should be careful. Is that alright? Some question was at the back remaining. Even if you get cheated, you know, cheated? If you get cheated for some more rupees, you know, and so forth, you know, by the residents of the dam, the shopkeepers, or even the auto rickshaw fellows, you get cheated, that's okay. And don't complain too much. You get cheated. That's okay. You can avoid getting cheated, but even if you do get cheated, don't take it so seriously. Don't fight with them. Just walk away.
When you are dealing with devotees, sometimes some authorities may do mismanage the things and do politics and groupism. Then how to deal with that? Are some devotees, those who are attached to him, some partiality is there? And then how to deal in that situation? If you discuss that topic, it will happen, or how to avoid
it? It depends on your own heart of why you came to Krishna consciousness. The politics will go on, mismanagement will go on, and so forth. If it's not your duty to rectify that, and if you try to rectify it, you may get into trouble more, and will disturb your own consciousness. So leave it to the authorities, like the higher authorities. But if you feel something needs to be done, then you go to the higher authorities. There's always, if you go higher out of concern for the devotees' welfare and for their activities, then that's not politics. That's not politics. But if you talk to devotees who cannot do anything about it, then you are getting involved in politics further. Like there is the temple president, there is the zonal secretary, regional secretary, there is the GBC, you go to them. You just do your duty and you go to them. Like that. And let them deal with it. And then later on you may complain, but I went to the GBC and he's not dealing with it. Then you don't worry about it. Some higher arrangement will take its course. You just be happy you came to Krishna consciousness and you'll be happy that you can practice Krishna consciousness under the most favorable conditions that's conducive and continue. You know, be a strict sadhaka. Like that. So sometimes we should be strict with ourselves and lenient with others. Even if in relation to politics and not so good management. Just be lenient, but be strict with yourself. Like that. If you're not in a position of service to deal with it, then go to someone who's in a position of service to deal with it. That's important. But don't let it overwhelm your consciousness. Don't let it overwhelm your consciousness. Especially younger devotees and so forth. Just continue to practice Krishna consciousness as best as you can. Is that all right? Okay, we'll move ahead with text number 7. We're on page 65 with this. Syat Krishna Nama Charita Di Sityabhya Vidya.
Syat Krishna Nama Charita Di Sityabhya Vidya.
Pito Patapta Rasanas Narochikano.
Pito patapta rasanasya narochikano.
Kintva darat anudinam kalu saiva justa
indra halam anudinam kalu saiva justa
svadvikramat bhavati tadgana mula hantre
svadvikramat bhavati tadgana mula hantre.
Translation, you can repeat. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day,
a natural relish
awakens within his tongue,
and his disease
is gradually destroyed
at the root.
So in the purport, in the first paragraph, it is expanded about sugar candy and the jaundice condition like that. So the jaundice condition is compared to ignorance, avidya, and therefore it perverts the ability to release the transcendental, a holy name in its sweetness, in that sense. And then in the second paragraph on page 67, Srila Prabhupada talks about taking interest in the material world rather than in the Krishna conscious activities, which is considered a diseased condition, like that. And at the bottom, second two lines on page 67, Prabhupada makes a nice statement. People try to rectify one mistake by making another mistake. Nice statement. People try to rectify one mistake by making another mistake. This is the way of the struggle for material existence, for existence in the material world. Okay. Now, we should be cautious to know that the holy name is the only solution. While engaging in devotional service but still attracted to material activities, one may feel that I should do something else and then chant the holy name. So then one is actually, you could say in one sense, reducing one's faith in the potency of the holy name to purify and come out of the jaundice-like condition and taste the sweetness of the holy name. One is actually doubting the faith of chanting the holy name. So one has to be cautious for that. So therefore Prabhupada says that sometimes you may try to rectify one mistake by making another mistake, save and accept full and sole faith in the chanting of the holy names. We have to be careful for that. However, in some practical instances, we may advise a devotee to take some therapy. You know what's therapy? You know, go to a psychiatrist or go to a psychologist and they administer some therapy. But we should not also lose the advice to tell them ultimately everything is faith and chanting in the holy name. We may take some preceding steps to help the devotee to come to a more sane, human-like condition. You getting the point? Like that. So in other words, we should be careful ourselves not to give advice and not to also take that, that ultimately we should come to the faith and full faith in chanting the holy name. We may think, you know, that the other process of taking help, which is subsidiary, you know, we should not undermine the faith, full faith in chanting the holy names to come out of this jhanas-like condition. Can you relate to that? Sometimes that happens. And I often give the example, like if somebody is, if somebody's body is sick, so naturally they'll go to a doctor. Even if it is a devotee doctor, but they're nevertheless going to a doctor, even if it's a non-devotee doctor. So the doctor situates the body in a sane condition, in a healthy condition. But when you go to the doctor, it doesn't mean to say that you're losing faith in the holy name. It's not that, you know, I should just chant and my bodily disease will go away. No, you need to go to the doctor, but it doesn't reduce your faith in the holy name. So in the same way, when we help devotees on the subtle condition, like, you know, a mental condition they may have, mental illness, in the same way, we are not reducing the faith in the holy name. That should be there. Right. Okay. On page number 69 at the bottom, it discusses the three stages of chanting the holy name. Anyone recalls? If you did the Namamrita program with me, we discussed the three stages. Namaparad, offensive chanting, yes. You want the microphone? Take the microphone. The microphone is near you. Take it. So the next stage is Namabhas, and then? Sudanam. Okay. Now, the question is, how do you progress from Namaparad to Namabhas? If you remember, there are three things. Yes, Narayan, give him the microphone.
One has to repent.
Yes.
For whatever offenses or errors he made.
Yes.
Just go on chanting.
Yes.
And chant the Panchatattva Mahamantra.
Yes, wonderful. He remembers clearly. You all remember that?
Yeah.
Yes. Prabhupada says it clearly, very nicely in this lecture in Allahabad. That, you know, go on chanting. Be repentant for things that you have done unnecessarily, and chant the Panchatattva Mantra before you chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So these three things will naturally make you progress to Namabhas and Sudanam. But can we achieve the stage of Namabhas and Sudanam? We discussed that too. What did we say about that? Give the microphone this way. Yeah, yeah. Give it to him. To Nityananda Ram.
There is no achievement. It simply happens by chanting and becoming pure of the chanting.
Yes, in other words, it descends by its own?
Descends by its own accord.
Own accord, own sweet mercy, own sweet will.
And it comes through chanting.
Yes, it comes through continuing to chant, okay. Be repentant and chanting the Panchatattva Mantra before the Hare Krishna Mantra. Yes. In other words, we open our hearts to the mercy to try to attract those two other stages. Especially, Sudanam comes by its own accord. Okay, in the slide I have another way of looking at this. the verse says avidya. Avidya also is darkness or ignorance, like that. So in nam aparad stage, the offensive stage, one comes out of the darkness to dawn. And dawn is the breaking of night into day, breaking of light, breaking of darkness into light. Dawn. So the period of dawn to the beginning of the sun's rays is Namabhas, the stage of lessening offenses, or clearing stage. And from the beginning of the sun's rays, just when you see the sun's rays, then momentarily the sun comes up, isn't it? There's no waiting moment. So that's a very short period, a very short period for Sudananda, the full manifestation of the sun. Now we did this before, when one comes out of the darkness of ignorance into the dawn, you could say from this stage to the beginning of the sun's rays is called sadhana bhakti. You with me? Sadhana bhakti. And the beginning of the sun's rays is called itself bhava bhakti. And the full manifestation of the sun is actually prema bhakti. Also that is there. Like that. Now, I'm using the same analogy to make a point. This aspect of dawn that you have here, where night breaks into day, is it part of the sun? Yes or no? It is part of the sun. And part of the sun is Krishna Prema, or the full manifestation of the sun. So that indicates this period of dawn when night breaks into day is only present because there is the sun, isn't it? Without the sun, this will not exist. So similarly, when one performs sadhana bhakti, it is actually part of prema. It is part of prema, although it is not the full manifestation of prema. Sadhana is part of bhava and bhava is part of prema. It's like that. So in other words, when we perform sadhana bhakti, sometimes we may feel, when are we going to experience prema? No, you are experiencing prema, which is within sadhana. Within sadhana is part of prema. Just like dawn exists because the sun is there. So similarly, full prema is there, so therefore sadhana exists. It's part of prema. In that sense. So therefore, just performing sadhana bhakti is actually part of prema bhakti, and that makes you completely spiritual. In other words, you're not in the material world. You're on your way to the full prema. Therefore sadhana is part of prema, just as dawn is part of the presence of the sun. Although you cannot see the sun during the period of dawn. Because of the sun, the period of dawn exists. Is that okay? Because of the sun's rays exist, although you may not see the sun. So Prabhupada conclusively says on page number 70, on the top first paragraph, the conclusion is that in order to get free from the material disease, one must take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One must take to the chanting. Of course, on page 71, Prabhupada is so liberal, although we have the process. So on page 70 and 71, he loosely goes into this different stages of this verse, Ado Shraddha. You know this verse? Ado Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatha Nivritti. Anatha and Nivritti. Then? Nishta Ruchi, Bhava and Prema. Ashakti is there. How it goes? Ruchi? Who is Nista? Anatta Nivritti, Nista, Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhava and Prem. So Prabhupada does that on pages 70 and 71. But I want to say one thing. On page 70 from the bottom, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up. By bhajana kriya, one attains freedom from the contamination of materialistic life. So Prabhupada loosely translates that it's a high stage where one is initiated by the spiritual master and follows the four regulative principles. By following the four regulative principles on page 71, this is all going on the foundation and basis of chanting the holy name. Okay, on page 71, third line, anathas are vanquished when one becomes attached to the Krishna consciousness movement. That's quite an amazing statement. If you become attached to ISKCON, become attached to the devotees in ISKCON, become attached to activities that ISKCON does, your anathas are gone, vanquished. Right. Prabhupada is very magnanimous in that. Just by doing that, anathas become vanquished. And then in the next paragraph he speaks about bhava, the preliminary awakening of dormant love. He goes straight into that. In other words, one becomes attached to such activities and experiences ecstasy in executing devotional service. Then almost in the middle of the page, way down, it says, although maya may be present, it cannot disturb a devotee once he attains the bhava stage. Cannot. Then somebody may ask a question of Bharat Maharaj, which we're doing in Bhagavatam class. How is that? You know how that happened? There are two features of fall down, Prabhupada says in one purport. One feature of fall down is due to, Prabhupada says, Vaishnava Aparad, and especially Hati Mata, the mad elephant of it. Then he said another feature of fall down is the will of the Lord. Is the will of the Lord. So anyone who is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam is within the Leela Shakti of the Lord. Is within the pastime potency of the Lord. I mean, Bharat Maharaj, so much information is there about it. Different lives, you know, like that. So he's within the Leela Shakti of the Lord. So it is the Lord's will that someone from Bhava Bhakti platform will fall to teach others a lesson. So in the same way, you know, there is Mahamaya within Yoga Maya, just as Arjuna also fell into Maya, yes or no? But that's a type of Mahamaya within Yoga Maya for us to learn, not for Arjuna to learn. Because only pure devotees or associates of the Lord can take part in the Leela or pastime of the Lord. And part of the pastimes of the Lord is to allow his pure devotees to fall into Maya for the conditioned souls to learn. Like that. Because a conditioned soul not necessarily can take part in the Leela Shakti of the Lord. He's a conditioned soul. So the Lord has to teach the conditioned souls by allowing one of his associates or a pure devotee to fall. And Prabhupada says in one purport. So therefore, although here he says, although Maya may be present, it cannot disturb a devotee once he attains the bhava state. That's on the platform of sadhana bhakti, you know, from Vaidya sadhana to Raganuga to bhava bhakti. all due to the effect of the chanting of the holy name. Go ahead.
Preliminary awakening of dormant love of Godhead. When does this preliminary begin?
This is the bhava stage. This is preliminary here. I gave this, see this is the beginning of the sun's rays. Yeah. So when, it's like, it's very easy. Momentarily when you see the sun's rays, you know momentarily what will come up. Automatically, sun will come up. So it's preliminary. And that's the sun's rays. The analogy suits it fine. You have to understand it fully. Okay, I mean I could say more about chanting the holy name, but we covered much of it in the Namamrita program. So if you do have some questions, so you can take them now about text number 7. If you do have some questions about chanting. All right, and then move ahead. These are the three stages in chanting the holy name. Just to summarize, there are three stages in chanting the holy name. In the first stage, one commits 10 kinds of offenses. Namaparad in the next stage. Namabhas, the offenses have almost stopped and one is coming to the platform of pure chanting. And in the third stage, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, whether the offenses is dharma and love for Krishna, awakens Suranam. This is the perfection. You remember we did this in the Namamrita program from the Allahabad lecture? Simply be repentant and go on chanting. So I don't want to repeat the same exercise because most of you have done it. And then to chant the Panchatattva mantra is not considered in the chanting, and at the same time the Panchatattva mantra will help the offenses not to be there. It will purify you of the offenses. Like that. And then simply be repentant and go on chanting, then the stage will come. It is called Namabhas. I'm just recapping what we did in the Namamrita program. And then clearing stage Namabhas 2, Prabhupada says that. Even by symbolic chanting, by joking, if one gets the benefit, why not do it carefully? Why not do it carefully? What is wrong there? Be serious and chant Hare Krishna very carefully in order to get success of life at the time of death. Okay? And then the pure chanting. Naturally you'll go on chanting, then his love of Krishna becomes manifest. On the Namabhas stage, it's stated that one is actually liberated. One is free from the burden of material existence. It's actually the bhava stage in a sense. Is that okay? I've included these slides here again. So counteracting Namaparad, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is therefore recommended that an offender at the feet of the holy name continue to chant the holy name 24 hours a day. Constant chanting of the holy name will make one free of offenses, and then he will gradually be elevated to the transcendental platform on which he can chant the pure holy name and thus become a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is important here. When you chant purely, you automatically love Krishna, because Krishna is non-different from the holy name. It's not that you're chanting purely to meet Krishna, to love him. Just by chanting, you are a lover of Krishna, the pure holy name. And you remember this? Anyone can tell us about this slide, about quality and quantity in chanting, what we discussed? You remember we said sometimes people have the philosophy, you can chant 4 rounds with quality instead of chanting 16 rounds with quantity. Yes?
The message was just keep on chanting because the quality of the chanting will come through the quantity of chanting.
Yes. And the more you chant, the more chances are that more of the holy names will be chanted purely. The more chances. And those of you who experience the 64 rounds day, you're aware that your first 16 rounds may have a certain quality. And as you chant more, it has a particular quality. Then it becomes easier to hear the holy name as you chant more. The quality increases, especially the quality of hearing the holy name. Okay, and then Prabhupada speaks about ISKCON in page 70 in your purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant, he uses the word especially, meant for creating an atmosphere in which people can take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. That's why we build temples and preach. The facility is meant to facilitate the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Prabhupada says. All right. Any questions? I'm trying to avoid go to text number 8. I can do that tomorrow because we won't be able to complete it in the next 15 or 20 minutes. So the other team, so there's two teams tomorrow. One is for text number 7 and 8 combined, or 8 more. It is more 8 tomorrow, yeah. Text, and then 9, 10 and 11 are grouped together. Who's that team? Okay, so we should be able to complete tomorrow. And give you a break on Friday. Yes. Tell us.
My question is about the word chanting 64 rounds.
Yes.
You recommended that one should do that sometimes. I just wondered, should one like do it together with other devotees, like fine, like should, because to do it alone, I think it's impossible.
You are correct in a certain way, like that. You know, to actually apply some self-voluntary force that I am determined to do this alone, it could be not easy. That's true. So what you could do is you can go to some friend's home and get other people into some home of a devotee. And try to rest there and wake up at 2 o'clock morning. You know, a few of you, like 4, 5, 3, like that. 3 is the crowd, so it's okay. 3, 4, 5 or more, like that. So we generally do that, you know, like I do that. I go with a few friends and go to a devotee's home. And we stay there with the devotees on the previous night. It's one of the easiest ways to nicely chant 64 rounds with the least challenges. And you take rest, you know, well before like 7, 8 o'clock, you know. So you can get a good 6 hours or 7 hours of sleep. And you rise at 2 o'clock. And you start chanting from 3 o'clock. No breakfast, you just go straight into lunch. It's one of the easiest ways to organize that. Go straight into lunch. Of course, the persons who are preparing the lunch are not part of the 64 hours. They take care of that. You know, I found that's the easiest. That's the easiest. Because when you have this like a head start in chanting very nicely and hearing nicely from 3 o'clock morning, you know, and you don't have a morning program, you're just chanting. Your chanting is the morning program. You chant throughout, so 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and you know, that's 9 hours or so, 9 or 10 hours. So you chant throughout like that, and then you go straight into lunch. If you could try that, it would be good. I found that's the easiest period, and the most welcoming period for the consciousness to have the least challenges in chanting 64 hours. But don't take breakfast. And you do it not every time, time, and if you can. Is that alright? And then sometimes you can, as you do it, you get acclimatized to doing it with devotees. Then you discipline yourself to do it on your own. Same time. You discipline yourself to do it on your own, same time, and you'll be able to do it after some time, on your own. Of course, the previous nights you have to set up your sacred space also. You know, if you're having a group of devotees either in the living room or in the altar room, you set up the sacred space. Don't do that in the morning, it takes time. You must set up the sacred space. Other questions? Okay, microphone here.
Maharaj, as far as I know, for chanting, you have to worry about the hearing, the hand touching the beads, and the tongue.
Why do you use the word worry?
Sorry?
You said you have to worry.
Oh, because sometimes I get carried away, like I may be walking, chanting, and I forgot something somewhere, so I make sure I'm still hearing the names, but still I'm going somewhere to pick up something.
That will be inattentive now, normally. It would be inattentive. We discussed that in different ways. It will be inattentive. So in other words, better to do your to-do list the night before. And once you get acclimatized to doing your to-do list the night before for the next day, and then while you're chanting, you know, your mind will not bother you so much of things to do. In that sense, that's what we discussed in the Navamita program also. You were there. So go ahead.
If you're chanting and then your mind starts thinking of something, so then, I won't give up the whole round and start again. I may just chant a few rounds and maybe get my
attention. You see, you answered your own question. You said that if I'm chanting and the mind is thinking, are you thinking or the mind is thinking?
Mind is thinking?
Are you thinking or the mind?
I don't know how to answer that question.
Yes, that's important. That's very important for the mind. In other words, the mind will do its thing of trying to think. But you are not reciprocating with the thoughts of the mind. The mind cannot function. It can only function with its thoughts if you reciprocate with the thoughts. Otherwise it becomes dormant. The mind becomes dormant. It becomes like tamed. It becomes like inactive. So when the mind is doing its thoughts, you should come to the realization that I am not the mind. You can continue with your function, but I'm not related to that function. You continue to hear the holy name. Then you find the mind becomes tamed. We always have to remind ourselves that we are not the mind, which is part of the subtle body. We are not the mind. We always come to remind us. Mind, you are not me. You are separate. You should remind yourself. And you'll find that your hearing improves. The hearing of the mantra improves. Because these two functions of thinking, when you feel that you are one with the mind, and hearing the mantra, cannot simultaneously function. If you're hearing the mantra, the mind will become dormant. It will not affect you in terms of hearing the mantra. So try that. Is that okay? Go ahead, something else if you want to say. Please.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Yes.
sometimes I find myself chanting very nicely after a certain amount of rounds, like after 10, 12, 14 rounds, the chanting becomes very deep and very intense. And then I actually feel like continuing.
Mm-hmm.
So is it in a sense, when you have a very good chanting day, to continue and not go to the second morning program, is it in a sense against Prabhupada, or is Prabhupada pleased if you are actually chanting very nice during the puja?
You know, it happens to me also. You know, like I'm not comparing myself to you or you to me in that sense. It's like, you know, I have to use the bathroom twice every morning, you know, before Mangalati, and then come in between and then go back to the temple for class, like that. So sometimes when I come back and after taking bath, I chant again. But I don't feel like leaving the holy name and going back or something. So at the same time, it is important to hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, like, especially in the formative stages of Krishna consciousness and in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness. But then it's difficult to go back to that mood of chanting after hearing the class. It may be difficult to actually get back that flow, you know, of chanting like that. So then I console myself and sort of say, well, at the time of initiation I took a vow to chant the holy name. You know, the other activities are complementary to give me good consciousness in the mission of Lord Chaitanya and to absorb myself in Srimad Bhagavatam and so forth. Okay. So then sometimes I continue to chant. Okay. And when I continue to chant, and then when I really want to hear the Bhagavatam class, then I ask somebody, anyone recorded, can I hear the class? So I can hear a recording of the class later on and still keep the flow of continuing to chant. Okay. But it's important to actually hear something as part of our sadhana in the formative stages of our Krishna. It's important to hear, you know, read Prabhupada's books, hear something like that. Prabhupada didn't really, you know, recommend reading as part of the sadhana. He recommended hearing from another devotee. It's a different effect. By hearing the realizations of other devotees, it has a different effect. If you read on your own, it's a little different by hearing. So he more strongly recommended attend Srimad Bhagavatam class. So if you want to go with the flow of the chanting, you may do that, but get a recording, you know, of the speaker and then hear the class if you can. I'm giving the answer especially in your formative stages because you fairly new in Krishna consciousness. Is that all right? If one has a taste for continuing to chant, by all means, continue to chant. Continue to chant. Ultimately, all philosophy, you know, all philosophy ends in lila. See? So nama, guna, rupa, lila. Ultimately, all philosophy ends in continuing to chant the holy name as the basis, the foundation. Ultimately, all philosophy ends in that. So if you have a taste for that, you can continue. But at the same time, Prabhupada did recommend that we should have a good sadhana. And included in the sadhana is especially here in Srimad Bhagavatam class. There was one female disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and she was staying in the ashram, and subsequently she got married. And in marriage, you know, the husband began to work and, you know, to support themselves. And also the, you know, they became parents and two children came. like that, till children came. And then they're staying in an apartment near the temple, and so forth. So when Prabhupada visited the temple, she was very attached to sadhana. She remembers the Brahmacharini days. It's like our devotees remember the Brahmachari days, you know? Nice days, you know, like that. Yeah. So she remembers the Brahmacharini days, and she goes to Prabhupada, and she says, Prabhupada, I don't know why I got married. Now I have two children, I have to take care of them, and now, you know, my sadhana is a little poor. I have to, you know, attend to the children. One is school going, and send them off to school, and things like that. So I do some of my sadhana later. So she asked Prabhupada what to do. I was attached to the sadhana and I still like it, but I cannot neglect the kids. And Prabhupada said, you must do at least two things. By rising early, you must complete your 16 rounds and reach Srimad Bhagavatam. And said, if you cannot reach Srimad Bhagavatam, then you hear one of my tapes. Prabhupada told her, you hear one of my Bhagavatam lectures. There's tapes available. You hear one of my tapes. And Prabhupada said, that takes you about under 3 hours. So you should try to do all that before the kids get up, before the children rise. Right. So at least do these two things. But that too, you know, for parents is not easy, right? It's not easy. So they may chant some rounds in the morning, they may only hear Srimad Bhagavatam after the kids are gone off to school and after the husband is gone after work. Right. That's okay, but do it before 11 o'clock. Do it before 11 o'clock. Because when that sun hits midday, your blood begins to boil. You know, the movement of the sun from morning till midday and then afternoon has an effect on the body, and the body affects the consciousness. But for persons who are completely free from the bodily conception of life, it doesn't affect the consciousness. You can still chant with the same intensity and same hearing capacity any time of the day. So that is also there. So I tell that to many congregation devotees who don't live in temples. At least do these two things that Prabhupada advised them to do. Chant your rounds and, you know, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay.
Thank you, Samaraj. Please, Maharaj, please correct me. At one time, I listened to Prabhupada's lecture. He said, one taking birth in Indian body is 50% guarantee to go back home.
I never read that anywhere.
Because?
You may be talking about the verse of Bharata Bhumi Hali Manishra Janma.
Yeah, because the holy places are all in India.
But I never heard the word Indian birth. He may be talking about Bharata Bhumi. And he said more that one who has taken his birth in Bharata Bhumi, that means the land of India, as for his duty, must preach Krishna consciousness. He mustn't sit back and don't do the mission of it. He said something to that effect. It is your duty to give this Krishna conscious culture that you are born with to others. He said something. But I'm not sure about what you're saying. If you can give me the quotation, it would be nice.
That's why I said I'm begging for correction.
Yeah.
So, if we are born in Bharatabhas and you neglect the chanting of Hare Krishna,
then you get a double reaction. there was an industrialist or some important man, and a big man like that. he approached Srila Prabhupada, you know, and he said that, you know, India is the land of, it's Punya Bhumi. India is the land of piety and full of spirituality and full of, you know, religiosity. But why is India suffering so much? You know, why is India suffering so much compared to the Western world? They are opulent and things like that. India is suffering so much. You know, he's asking Prabhupada this question like that. And yet we have so many great saintly persons who have come here. So Prabhupada says, which saintly persons? So he quotes this Baba, that Ramakrishna, he quotes these people, you know, Vivekananda and all that. Prabhupada says, yes, we have our saintly persons. Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbakacharya, and then he includes Sri Chaitanya. He said, not your saintly persons, these are the saintly persons. So then Prabhupada still wanted to, you know, want him to speak. So he said, yes, maybe those are all saintly persons, but why? India is the land of saints and we are suffering, whereas in the West they are enjoying. Like that. So Prabhupada told him, true. India has produced the greatest saints. And India has also produced the greatest demons. That is why. It is true. And Prabhupada in the process of spreading Krishna consciousness, he said his biggest fight to actually establish Krishna consciousness in India. And he said in terms of the Juhu project, that's my biggest fight. I never had such great challenge in establishing Krishna consciousness. But his biggest challenge was in India. And therefore he personally took up. One time he made Tamakrishna Goswami the GBC for all of India. He said, still I have to be involved as the GBC for. I have to be involved so personally. For India. Right. So it is a fact. It's a land of punya, land of piety, but at the same time people know what's good for them. But you know, there's certain parts of Mumbai, Bombay, is worse than Manhattan in New York. You know, like that. So they are taking to ways that are contradictory to their own natures. And contradictory to, you know, Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. So you get a double reaction. Is that all right? And, okay, Michael, this light's turned off.
My question is related to the mind, because you were saying the mind has like its own life.
Yes.
And I'm asking also in relation to, because the mind is the biggest obstacle while chanting, because, you know, Sri Prabhupada says neglect the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it, as you say, it has its own life and it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a doctor.
Yes.
It's sent away.
Yes.
So maybe you can say something more on that?
It's a fight. You know, in the formative stages of chanting, it's a fight. In other words, the mind will always come back and come back. Mind will always come back. But if you always neglect and neglect and neglect, Prabhupada used to say that if you have an unwanted guest, it's like the mind is like your guest and it's unwanted at the same time. It's always there, but it's unwanted. So what do you do if you have an unwanted guest in your house? How will they leave? Neglect and do not especially feed them. Do not feed them and do not associate. You know, ignore, neglect, pretend they're not there. Okay, they'll go. So if you do that constantly, even if the mind will not be nagging. But then the mind will try something else after that. The mind will try to be friendly to you. The mind will not try to control you. The mind will go with the flow. But then, as the mind goes with your flow, oh, the mind is nice. It's my best friend. it will then turn the tide again. It will then turn. We explain this also in Namamrita to some extent. It will turn the tide. When you enter into the mind and the chanting, and the mind says, yeah, this is so nice, continue to chant. I'm with you all the way. Like that. And now you are a great devotee. It increases your false ego. And then it turns you back. Like that. So it is difficult. But once you have that steady chanting and fixed internally, then the mind will become completely dormant. In other words, you sort of overcome the, in one sense, you sort of overcome the demands of the subtle body, including the intelligence and the false ego. Of course, in one sense, it's philosophy what we're saying, but it also has to be experienced, you know, just through the continuous effect of the chanting of the holy names. Is that all right? No. Okay. I'll just say one last thing about, based on your question again. Srila Prabhupada was here in his bhajan kutir, he was staying there. You know, where they had the 24-hour kirtan and go nitai there. Those deities have a particular name, right? Nitai Gaura Sundar? Nitai Padakamala. Okay. So Prabhupada was staying there. Like that. And all his godsons. Oh, the big ones in Nitai Gaura Sundar and the small ones in Nitai Padakamala. Okay. So he was right and I was right. So Prabhupada was there and his godbrothers were visiting him. There's a sometimes famous picture of his godbrothers sitting around from the Gaudiya Math. And also some of his senior disciples were there, like Tamal Krishna Goswami, like that. So it sort of was a time to for Prabhupada to also honor his prasadam, but he was still with his godbrothers, like that. So Mother Malati, you know her? She's also a GBC member, yeah. So she was Prabhupada's cook. Right. So she came, but she had to come because she sees all these big sannyasis and Gaudiya Math mahans, heads and all the Gaudiya Math. But she had to come in, you know, somehow for some reason to come in as part of a service. So she came in and sort of like was quietly crawling towards Prabhupada. So Prabhupada saw an emotion in his stomach. And then he turned on and looked at his godmothers and he said, and she will even slit a throat for me. If I tell her to do that, she will even slit a throat. That means she will even die for me. And then Prabhupada remarked to his godbrothers, and I will similarly do the same. I don't know in what context it is, but you can see it is not a question of birth. It's not a question of birth in a particular. It's a question of surrender. Surrender and service, you know, to the disciplic succession, to the spiritual master. Right. That's more most important. It's not a question of birth.
I read in collected lectures of Prabhupada that Prabhupada saying in the lecture that those who have taken birth in India, they have performed many austerities in the
forest. Yes, but not for loving Krishna. It is Shramai Eva Kevalam. There are many like that. I went to Badrinath and I said, they can't put, I mean, I can't do what they can do. But what's the result of the austerities? Follow Sankaracharya. You know, what's the result of the austerities? To become one or to become God. So that's useless. Patantiyada, fall down again. Of course, you know, people who are not Krishna conscious and they come from the Western world, they're impressed with this mysticism and austerities of others, and they become the followers also sometimes. Okay? All right, we'll stop. We don't have time. So we'll continue tomorrow, and hopefully we may complete tomorrow. That's it. 8, 9, 10, and 11. So there's two teams presenting tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada.
He's Hare Krishna. Time is coming to end for the first unit and we have the first session. Please keep up with your questions and assessments.